welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is the Shame Free Zone. Thanks so much for tuning in again. This is Veronica Monet, your host. And tonight we're going to be talking about energy, specifically something called energetics, but we'll get into that in a bit. My guest is Siobhan Moran, and she is a highly regarded speaker, spiritual teacher, and entrepreneur. As an expert in the field of subtle energy and its application in our minds, bodies, emotions, relationships, and finances, she empowers people to achieve and succeed with the proper use of energetic consciousness. She also hosts international teleconference workshops and radio programs, and she's helped over 7,500 people. So I'm really interested in the depth and breadth of her practice here. She's actually worked with personal care, healing, physical disorders that include traumas, diabetes, ADD, ADHD, autism, OCD, cancer, ALS, autism, chronic fatigue, depression, malaise, stroke, addictions, and more. Siobhan, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm happy to have you here. Now, is there anything you can't treat? That's the question I have for you right off the gate here.
You know, that's a great question. No, there's nothing we can't work on. It's all about energy and the receptivity of the person.
Well, yeah, maybe our listeners like a little bit about your background here. I know you've mastered something called, is it Arhatic Yoga? I've never even heard of this.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that energy is about understanding how to move it in, out, and around and use it so that it accelerates the healing ability within the body and around the aura. And one of the things that brought me into this, in funny story, is that I learned that you could move energy and give, and you're going to love this for your show, give a woman an orgasm without touch.
Of course!
It got me into studying energy. Of course, my body was very sick at the time, but one of the things about energy is it's important to really study it, not just at basic levels, but really take it to inner deeper levels, and that's what the Arhatic Yoga is about.
It's an inner
type of yoga.
Arhatic Yoga, is that about orgasms?
It is about activating the energy within the system so that whoever is a practitioner can move energy properly. Having orgasms without touch is possible. It's
right.
About how you activate your chakras in a particular manner, and really the objective of all yoga is to transmute sexual energy so that it becomes the highest vibrational energy that's available for the physical, mental, emotional body, and the spiritual growth of a person.
So, and this is, correct me if I'm mistaken, but this is also similar to the tantric tradition.
Not similar. There can be aspects of it that might be, however, no, not similar. It's in the form of the tantric tradition is more sex chakra and lower chakra oriented, whereas the energy healing and the Arhatic Yoga is about balancing the chakras so that the human being that
is practicing it.
Yes, can you hear me? Hello? 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 Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, we really apologize for that momentary break there. We're having some energetic difficulties. Anyway, my guest again this evening is Siobhan Moran, and she is a specialist in energetic healing. And we were just discussing the difference between something called our hatic yoga, if I'm pronouncing that properly, and tantra. And we were talking about how you're able to create orgasms without touching. And I'm going to turn it over to Siobhan here again and help her, ask her to please enlighten us. What is the difference between this particular branch of yoga and tantric?
So a hatic yoga is mainly about allowing the energy centers to be balanced, whereas tantric yoga is about activating the lower energy centers and connecting them with the heart and really connecting them in an outward flow of energy, whereas our hatic is about inner development and spiritual development, so the physical, mental, emotional body gets to be the best it could be. So essentially, when you become energetic as far as managing qigong or some of those energies, you're able to transmit energy kind of like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, you know, where you move energy from your hands. And as you become more aligned in your energy body and your chakras are aligned, as opposed to one being bigger than another, which is more along the lines of what Tantra does, your physical, mental, emotional body can transmit energies out into helping others, whether it's for healing faster or whether it's for inner spiritual development or whether it's actually for business development, which is kind of interesting, using these tools and techniques. And so the philosophy is to balance the system enough, as well as activate the chakras, so they're not just a traditional 2 to 4 inches in size, but they become 8, 10, 12 inches and beyond in size, so that the energy body can transmit great amounts of energy.
Okay. You had mentioned about the orgasms. Does that come into play with your healing modality?
When I got interested in it is, the reason I got interested in it is because you want some sort of touchstone, it's a fun way to say, okay, so how does energy apply to our real life? And how does somebody who has a great big sex chakra affect somebody else and in their inner and outer life? And if the chakras are balanced, you can actually activate, if the chakra of the practitioner or healer is balanced enough, you can actually activate, you know, the chakra of somebody else and, you know, activate them to be more sexually involved or have an internal orgasm. Now, as in Tantra, if the chakras activate the Kundalini energy, then that can rise up through the spine and create an internal orgasm, and that's more internal than the external that I had heard about when I heard about it on the radio for the first time. But you always want to use energy in a proper, respectful manner so you're not manipulating somebody else. But, you know, you can enjoy it through a lot of pleasure, that's for sure, in a slightly different way than Tantra.
And I'm wondering, do you think there's any... Now, does your work access something called a Kundalini awakening, or... Is that in your realm of expertise, or
when I've worked with the Kundalini, it is yes within my own system, and it is about activating it, and it's about activating it so all of the chakras have released at a proper stage. So most standard people who are out there walking around in the world have chakra sizes is about, like I was saying, 2 to 4 inches, mm-hmm. And when you start activating Kundalini, you know, that grows. And most Kundalini in most people is in the lower two chakras, which is the base of the spine and the sex chakra. And the objective is to really activate the other chakras so that they're about the same size, so kundalini energy doesn't get stuck anywhere. So sometimes when people have sexual, either it's too much, too little, they're stuck, or they have an oversexedness, then the energy could be stuck in those two lower chakras, and the kundalini is just kind of on fire there. And when I've worked with people, I've worked a lot with kundalini syndrome over the years because it's hard to diagnose, and it looks like chronic fatigue, and it looks like different psychic or schizophrenic type disorders, whereas it's just an overactivation and energy stuck in a couple of chakras, activating disorders in the brain and so on and so forth that are inharmonious to just, you know, regular walking around in our daily life. So
how does that,
it's twofold.
So how would that get activated? How would you get your energy stuck in that way?
Oh, I love that question. You know, I had a client, it reminds me of a client one time where he sat and he said, I am completely oversexed and I'm a sex addict. And I said, okay. I said, so what would you like me to do? And he said, I want it to stop. I want to stop going after every single thing, every single man, woman, anything out there. I just want it to stop. And I said, okay, well, let's have you sit down and we'll look at the energy centers and we'll see what's going on. And the interesting thing that he did is there are particular mudras, which are hand movements, that he was sitting there doing unconsciously, which were activating his sex chakra. So they were making his sex chakra about 15 inches wide, where his other chakras were about 4 inches wide. So if your sex chakra is that big energetically, you're going to be oversexed because you need to release it.
Wow.
And if it's overactivated in that manner, then the other, it needs to be cleared and stabilized and neutralized, and the other one's cleared, stabilized, and neutralized, so things are more even and balanced. And after, I think, one or two sessions, he basically went out back out into the world and had, you know, just normal relations without being having to go after every single thing that was walking around. And he was so excited because he said he'd never had that in his entire life. But
wow. Very interesting. And you mentioned mudras, and isn't it true that some people have had some disturbing kundalini awakenings just from yogic meditations, that they've end up getting some, like, muscular contractions that are kind of spontaneous and uncontrollable? I don't know if they call those kriyas. I'm not sure. Something like that?
Yes, and they can come from inappropriate mudras. They can come from stuck thought forms, meaning thought forms around sexual attitudes, say like monks and nuns, that they don't know how to transmute it and make that energy more balanced and whole in the system. Or it could come from a trauma, a falling or a car accident, or I've worked with people who've fallen off horses, had car accidents, and then I've worked with another person who was in war, and it was a very great trauma, and he had kundalini syndrome, an overactivation of the kundalini because of the trauma from war. Quite amazing. From being in a war, from being in the Vietnam War.
Oh, from war. From war. W-A-R, war. Gotcha.
W-A-R, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, kundalini can activate in a way. Everybody, you know, let me start back a little bit. Every single person has some level of kundalini activation or else we wouldn't be living. That's our fire energy, and it can activate and it can become alive in situations that are not completely stabilized. And the objective with proper yoga, not kundalini yoga, but proper yoga, is to awaken the chakras in a sequence so that things, thoughts, energies that could be stuck in the chakras will come out gradually and evenly rather than all at once. Because if they come out all at once is when it causes different disorders. It can cause great depression. It can cause different addictions to show up. I had one client never had touched a drink of alcohol in her entire life. And she had Kundalini activated, and she was in this the liquor store just buying every single type of liquor that she could possibly find. And it was because the Kundalini activated improperly.
And how did it get activated in her case?
She was doing a She was doing a particular type of physical yoga that the teacher was doing. They were teaching her some things that the teacher really didn't have all of the nuances of energy and how to move it and let it flow and do what it was supposed to do. And so she was just doing what the teacher said. And
wow.
It overactivated. So you really have to understand energy and know how to address the imbalances.
Well, I've actually heard that some people warn, don't play around with certain forms of yoga without supervision from a professional, because you can activate the Kundalini in ways that are going to be disturbing or debilitating. What would you say about that?
Absolutely, 100% true. I've seen it many times. I've worked on many, many people where it has been completely inappropriately activated and really destroyed their life. I mean, it's even gone so far as to destroy their finances, because it cracks the chakra in a way that it cannot hold, appropriate energy, appropriate survival energy. And if you can't have survival energy, then your income is going to be affected.
So when we're talking about balance, finding that balance, energetic balance in the life, what is the ultimate goal then? I mean, we want not to be sleepwalking and to be unconscious, which, of course, seems to be the way of the current culture, is to kind of have everybody in some kind of mass sleep so that they're not really aware and not really present. And yet, when one goes in search of enlightenment and awakening, you can become too awake. Or is
true.
That maybe a misappropriation of terminology? How would you say that?
Yeah, great, somewhat. The objective with anything is moderation and non-excessiveness. And the objective with energy is really we should be studying energy in schools, and that should be a natural piece of our development throughout our lives. I mean, fortunately, I've had very good inner instruction to get me to where I am and do the things I've been doing. And then I had a couple of great outer teachers. However, not everybody has that. And we're looking at things like you just mentioned, people being ungrounded. And one of the things I wrote on my blog recently was about how people are so caught in being ungrounded and what are the signs of being ungrounded. You cut your finger, you miss your exit, you forget people's names, and those are little pieces of ungrounded, but other larger pieces are, not able to really connect to the earth or really connect to others or really connect to our inner self and understand our energy. So as we become more grounded, then our energies can start to be balanced. And we really have to be aware and authentic and responsible for our own energy instead of expecting somebody outside of us to be responsible for our energy. So all of the work that I do when I work with clients is getting the energy stabilized and then teaching, while we're helping the energy stabilize within the system, teaching the person how to interact with their husband or their coworkers or their business partners so that they are the master of their own energy, and that anything that comes up, they will be able to deal with that energetically, and they won't be overtaken by either being ungrounded or being out of place and out of sorts. So you're right on target about being ungrounded. We need as a society to really learn how to ground and be on the earth, as above, so below, and be on the earth while being in our spiritual self, and also to find teachers and people that can give us the tools and techniques to get there in a very practical way that isn't going to take, you know, hours and hours on end. You know, we have attention span of about 15 minutes, right?
I think you're pushing it there, but okay.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, something that's going to take, and I like to say, something that's going to take no more than two, because that's about all we really want to have time for.
Well, and by the way, I'm, just so you know, I'm posting your blog to Facebook right now, and and we do have a couple of comments up already. We had I asked people on Facebook, "What is energetic healing? Have you any experience with yoga, meditation, or energy healing? Did it help you?" We got a comment on that one from Ramon Rivera. He says, "I practice energy medicine. I can answer any questions you have. I'm at your service," and then he put a big smile. I asked another question, "What effect does your energy have on the rest of your life? Do you have some favorite ways to create optimal energy for yourself? Would you ever pursue an energetic healing?" We got a response there from Chris Allen, Sensualist, who says, "Much expansion has come from energetic healing in my life, learning the feel of energy in the body and the energy field, awareness, intention, action. Everything is energy." Also a big smile after that one.
You have some enlightened listeners, Victoria.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I have great listeners. But I was also over looking at your blog, and for those of you who are listening and aren't online right now and can't follow along with us, the website is SiobhanMoran.com. So that's spelled S-H-E-E-V. A-U-N, that's Siobhan Moran, MORAN.com. And if you could click at the top over there where it says blog, there's actually a lot of really great stuff here. You've got Addictions Be Gone, Karmic Cost and the Cycle of Cause and Effect, Getting Over Being Brilliant and Stuck. Hey, let's talk about that. I'm sure a lot of my listeners are brilliant and stuck. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, the catalyst for that article was one of my clients who, oh my God, an amazing human, has done tons of things, spoken all over the world, however, made only $10,000 a year. And I was just appalled that she could make such little money when she had written, you know, she'd written programs for like mayors of cities and the things that she did were astounding, and I thought, oh, she's brilliant, talented, and stuck. She totally is. And so,
well, I just saw a whole bunch of hands go up in the audience.
No, me too. The objective with her, interestingly enough, was to get the energy in her house and the energy in her relationship stabilized, so they were supporting her. And she wasn't feeding these things to her own detriment, and that everything was not just vampirish on her and taking her energy away so that she couldn't earn money. And now she's out there just, gosh, I saw an email from her the other day, and she just did a great big seminar online for a couple hundred listeners, and I thought, wow, cool, good for you, girl, you go. And so with her, we took her, all of her brilliance, and brought them out into a greater, more aware audience so she could concretize it and bring the energy that was stuck in her lower chakras and bring it all the way up to her crown and back down so it was even and flowing constantly instead of little spits and spurts.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, boy, I sure relate to the little spits and spurts things. for myself, I often feel that I've kind of got a bulimic a relationship with life. You know, it's like feast or famine.
A bulimic relationship with life? Is that what you said?
That's what I said. It's like binge and purge, binge and purge. And I've actually never done that in physical reality. But it feels that way sometimes, like be poor, then have a whole bunch of money. Be poor, and then have a whole bunch of money.
or, you know, the phone's ringing off the hook and I can hardly keep abreast of everything, and then all of a sudden the phones go dead. And that feels like, to me, the kind of energy flow that I have been experiencing.
But you know what? That's a lot of people, though, because they'll muster up a whole bunch of energy, go out there, and then use it all up, and then have to come back and restore it. Go out there and use it all up, and then have to restore it. And the objective with the stuff that we do within Energetic Solutions is to make it consistent and even, so that no matter what you do day in and day out, you're doing something that's restorative, even if it's just for a moment, even if it's just for 10 minutes. And the energy continuously flows in an upward trend rather than up and then down and then up and then down. And what you're describing is pretty common, and some people go through it with what you're describing more emotionally. Some people go through it financially. Some people go through it relationally. However, it's that up and that down thing that's very hard on the system.
Well, and so how, you know, getting away from talking about and kind of, you know, like the vague generalities and the concept, but how, if you're working with somebody, how would you actually specifically help them? What, do you work with them over the phone? Do you give them homework? If so, what kind of homework? I mean, you know, I'm not asking you to lay out a whole plan here, but just kind of give our listeners an idea of how actually they would be able to benefit from your services.
Yeah, great question. I work with people all over the world. I have probably 80% of my clientele is over the phone, and some I have never seen, met, or even interacted with except via email, which is kind of interesting to me sometimes. And then I do have clientele that I work with in person, one-on-one, and some people fly in to meet me and have that one-on-one, and then we work over the phone after that. And my objective is to look at the energy where the person is, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Okay, so that means connect with them, and I use all the tools, all the skills, you know, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and, you know, all of the different energetic tools that I have at my disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask a ton of questions. Now, they aren't like questions anybody ever asks, because I hear that all the time, so apparently they must be.
Okay.
And I ask a ton of questions, and I follow the trail of the energy to find out where the greatest obstacle is that will help the release, so that my client, whoever that might be, gets the fastest result. And I came from corporate many years ago, and so I'm a little impatient, so I assumed all my clients were impatient, so I wanted fast, fast, fast.
Yes.
So I came up with fast, fast, fast. And, you know, I hear again and again and again, gosh, working with you is working with, like, 10 years of therapy in 1 hour. So,
wow.
So I guess that's it. And the objective is to deal with the things that are going on within the chakra system, inside the body, within the cellular structure and the memory in the conscious and unconscious, as well as the auric body outside. So it's connecting the inside dots with the outside dots and releasing those, so that what happens is the person, whoever, my client, whoever I'm working with, gets the fastest result without having to repeat it again and again and again and again and again.
Okay, so I'm looking over at actually the services section on your website, and it looks like you probably do a certain amount of yoga and meditation, and you even work with crystals and healing stones, or am I reading that right?
You know, I have crystals I use, however, not so frequently. What we primarily use is working with the internal structure of the cellular system and the external etheric body to release the two that are intertwined. So it's like you have a thread inside your cell that says, hey, do this, and then a corresponding thought or energy that's sitting in your aura And once you release it from the aura, it's really nice and you feel good, yet you still have that tendency to go back and do that same kind of thing to, hey, do this.
Right.
And we release it from both the inside and the outside. So
So I guess I'm asking almost, for a specific about how do you do that release over the telephone.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Best way to describe it is I have people interact with me and a particular have them use a particular hand movements over the chakra depending upon what I see and where it's stuck. And then I'm also doing some corresponding work on my end.
Okay.
Clearing.
So it's kind of like a remote healing then?
I guess you would call it like that. Yes, a remote healing.
Yeah. I realize I often go looking for words that are not at all the ones that any particular practitioner wants to use, but I'm looking for things that would kind of help the listening audience to relate it to something. Like, well, is it like more like this or more like that? So if that word doesn't work, maybe there's one that does.
Well, I would say it's more, you know, healing is a great word. However, I think it's more of a remote removal of a pattern, program, and attitude that applies to the energy in the cell and the energy in the behavior.
Okay. And what are your gifts? You mentioned several there. Could you list those again? Because you kind of ran through them quickly.
Yeah. I just hear things, see things, and intuit things. So.
Well, your website says she sees. Yeah, I think the website says she sees things you don't. Right.
Yeah, that's right. I have a little girl client right now, and she's actually very clairvoyant, and she interrogates me every time we talk. She says, well, now, do you see this? And how do you see this? And do you see that? And I guess it's helping her to realize that it's not so abnormal.
Oh, because she's clairvoyant. And so she wants to
clairvoyant,
find out.
And she's, you know, well, and she's having a hard time in school because the people are saying, oh, you know, you can't, you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't be hearing these things. This is not normal. Don't do that.
Was your childhood like that?
Well, and my answer to her was, people told me all kinds of things, and I just never told them anything about what I saw or heard.
Oh. I see. So can you hear people's thoughts?
I can, but I don't. I don't go around doing that unless I'm working directly with a client.
Ah, yes. Well, have you ever worked with large groups of people, like a room full of people?
Oh yeah, totally.
Now, I was advised that that can be very draining. That if you go work with a room full of people psychically, that you kind of get sick. Have you ever experienced that?
No, you know, the techniques that we teach and that we share are about energizing and being in flow so that you don't ever walk away being de-energized. That's how I ended up being very sick and getting into this. So I used to go and be in big rooms and give everything away, and now I know how to be in big rooms and, you know, keep my stuff and they keep theirs, and I go home happy and they go home getting whatever they needed, and generally, I'm really just amped and energized when I'm done.
And that's the way it should be. You know, not that I want to shit all over this conversation, but you say we, and I'm like, who is the we? Because I'm looking at your website, and it looks like it's just you, and I'm just wondering, who's we? Are those your guides and your spirits?
You know, that's funny. I don't realize sometimes I do that. You know, I use the we as the collective. Me, we, creator, teachers, helpers.
Ah.
Just kind of the collective we.
Okay. Well, I can totally understand that because the only time I've had an experience similar to what you're talking about, it was a definite we. And I actually had one of these days, I had to go teach a workshop about sexual shame, and I was just running on empty. I didn't have anything to offer that day. I woke up feeling completely empty and rather desolate. So I prayed. I prayed really, really hard to be filled, right? And I walk into this room, and people are raising their hands, asking some questions, and I'm looking at them going, well, I could answer that, but that's not actually what you want to know. And I start telling everybody what they want to know, and they all start crying. And and 3 hours later, I said, okay, well, the class is over now, and thank you so much. And if you have any questions, feel free to come up afterwards. And so the entire room formed a queue. And we were there for another 2 hours. So obviously I didn't have any boundaries. And it was very frightening for me. I got some new clients out of it who expected me to solve all their problems in the first 60 minutes of our next consultation.
Oh.
And I was like, I have no idea what happened that day, and I couldn't make that happen at will to save me.
Oh.
But it sounds like you can. You know how to tap in, and you know how to turn it off, and you're navigating it very, very successfully.
You know, it's important. It's important to be able to take that out and duplicate that, because what you're talking about that you accessed one time, it's really good to access again and again and again, and that way you get to share your gifts and your beauty and your joy out there so that you don't go back without all of that technology and knowledge, and you go back with everything that you really got while you were in the moment. And everybody has that ability. It's just a matter of what do we have within our system that gets us stopped from using and doing that. And that's what
That was going to be my next question. Do you think everybody has some ability in this area, and then if so, wouldn't you have to? Wouldn't it seem obvious that not that the gifts are not equal in this department, because we're not all running around having your childhood?
Thank God.
So what do you think about that? What is your, do you think that there's a lot of untapped psychic ability out there, or do you think that there's just some people that are born to heal or how would you phrase it?
You know, we all come in with the ability to do all of this. It's just a matter of how well turned off it gets in the first few years of our lives.
Hmm.
And how we interpret things throughout our defining childhood, the first 5 years of our lives, and how we're going to take that out into our world and what we're going to do with it. I can't say that I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew that I knew certain things, and I didn't know that others didn't know what I knew.
Right.
But what I have seen over the course of the past 15 years doing this is I have seen many thousands of people just awaken to things. They're like, oh, yeah, oh, and oh, yeah, and oh, yeah, now I remember. And so everybody has that. It's just a matter of really accessing it and getting your field, your outer and inner field, clear enough so it just becomes a natural, organic thing. And like you were just saying a moment ago, having great boundaries. You have to have good boundaries. And fortunately, I learned good boundaries.
And this begs the next question. You're obviously born with a great deal of innate ability. Obviously, if you're having as interesting a childhood as your young patient or client there. But how did you further develop your gifts? And how did you go to a psychic school? or what? How did you perfect what it is you do?
You know, I have my background is science, and I am one curious girl. And I got very, very sick after. I'll back up a little bit. My husband had died suddenly before I turned 30, and I had a very gifted person come to me. Not gifted in the way of any other things other than she had a great way of expressing something. And she says, this is now the best time of your life to listen to everything that you can possibly listen to that you're supposed to do. Don't ever not follow it from this day forward. It was the best piece of advice I ever got. And she said, you're open to things you would never be open to in any other time of your life, and just go with it. And so I did. And it got me into a little bit of trouble because I went into the corporate world, but it was, I think, perfect order because it gave me a lot of the corporate business skills that I love and adore and just, I love playing in business because it's really all energy. And bringing it about into this work and bringing it into a way that's very recipe or methodical based and being able to teach anybody how to do it, how to turn it off, how to turn it on, how to be the best they can be and activate what's supposed to be activated with them and within them, within their life and their relationship, etc. So I came about it through, you know, quite a number of challenges and looking at those as gifts and opportunities to say, okay, so, yeah, I got sick and my body nearly died and I had to heal it and I started listening to myself even more and I started taking some courses and then, oh, my gosh, people wanted me to help them. And when I started helping others is when it really just, like, the floodgates turned on.
I highlighted this, you know, you sent over some information for me, and I was looking at some of the stuff that you've written, and I love this, you know, the idea that if there is not equilibrium, then life will enforce change, and change is usually painful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's just very, very beautifully put. How can you expound a little bit on the idea of equilibrium? How do you define that?
Well, you know, I just finished writing a new book, and it's called Dancing with the Divine. And one of the pieces that I found was necessary to write about was this very thing, in that if your heart chakra is huge and open, and you're just this giving, 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 wonderful giving being, yet you're a doormat and you don't make a lot of money enough to really live on, then that's not any equilibrium. You're going to be top heavy and you're going to fall down, right?
Right.
And then on another side of it, if you're only focused on money and your basic chakra, your money chakra is really big and huge and your heart's really small and your crown's really small, then all you're going to be focused on is greed and self, etc. And then again, you have something that's completely not in alignment, not able to sustain itself for long periods of time. So the pendulum has to swing. And the objective is to get the pendulum to swing into a smaller space so there is more equilibrium and it's not going from one end of the spectrum to the other in order to self-adjust and create pain, whatever
okay.
that pain may be.
Right. Well, you know, and let's talk a little bit about definitions here. I'd actually put a question out on Facebook, and I said, how do you restore your energy on a daily basis? And interestingly enough, we get a comment back from Alita Hutchinson. She says, Java, 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 me love the goddess Caffeina. And of course, that's not exactly what I meant when I was talking about energy. However, I think that's a great opening for you to explain to us maybe some of the confusion that comes around the term energy versus energetics. And go ahead. Expound,
yeah,
if you would.
Yeah.
What you talk about energy healings, but some people probably get confused on what that means.
Yeah, totally. Because energy gotten means coffee or tea or, you know, some other form of you know, jump start. And energy that is gotten from the air, the earth, the water, and brought into the system to energize the system, energize the cells without that kind of caffeine is so much more powerful than caffeine. So energy is everywhere, and without energy, we would not survive. We wouldn't be in our body. We can live without air for a few moments. We can live without water. We can live without food, but we cannot live without energy. And so as we learn to be energetic beings, we learn to bring breath in and really do good deep breath and bring it into ourselves, then we are giving life to our body. We're bringing youth and vitality to our body. And as we bring non-energy, meaning giving our energy or power away to somebody else through thoughts or words or imbalance, then what happens is we're giving our energy to somebody else to use and or abuse. And as we take management of that within our own structure, our own cellular body, let's just use cellular body, our own physical hands, feet, arms, head, etc.
Right.
If we take that and manage that appropriately, then we become this really compact, solid being that can do anything and achieve anything with less caffeine or, you know, whatever it is that takes, you know, it takes you to get charged up. And we use just life force that's around us, which is free. You breathe, it's free. It's good. It's the only thing that's free.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. Well, you call it, I am success now, Paramitas the system. Am I reading that right?
You got it, girl.
Okay. Well, what does that mean? What is the system?
It means about taking steps to get from where you are to the other shore. So your other shore could be overcoming an addiction, or your other shore could be overcoming the ups, the big high highs and the low lows. Your other shore could be, you know, more success in business, could be getting over cancer, could be getting over, you know, like the young girl. Could be getting over understanding how to live with something that you have. Could be getting over, you know, chronic fatigue and really taking that to another level and giving you the empowerment and the tools to do it in your daily life without a whole lot of thought or a whole lot of, you know, lots of steps. I'm all about the fewer steps, the better.
and if, you know, you're saying that this system employs ancient, efficient energy techniques for improving your spiritual and material health and wealth. They work fast. They work deeply to get to core challenges and resolve them, often within one session. Is this true?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Is a system completely modified and changed within one system? One session? No. However, there is humongous change within one session. Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. Well, how much do you charge for your session? So I don't know if you want to put that on the air or not.
Talk to my assistant. I don't handle the money. It's a good thing.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I've been asking all the questions here. Maybe there's some things you'd like to volunteer. You actually have a couple different websites too. So let's mention this other one, energeticsolutions.net, and then also SiobhanMoran.com are the two websites that I'm aware of. If there's another one you want to send people to, feel free. You've got a lot of meditation CDs, and then you, how many books do you have?
We've done three books, and we just finished, like I said, just the other day, the new one called Dancing with the Divine, and then we've got two more coming up, one on meditation and then another one on how to disconnect from other people's junky energy.
Oh, I like that.
That's not the title of it, but that's the essence of it. The meditation CDs are ideally used in between sessions. And it's about 15 minutes. They're about 15 minutes, and it's about having a session in between sessions so you don't have to, you know, work so hard at it. And a lot of it's done in sleep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm all about simple. It's got to be simple.
Well, and I like that because that's your business background. So you've got, like, transform your business with energy, having endless energy for health and healing, ultimate peace and relaxation, relationship healing, meditation on the Lord's Prayer, really?
Yeah, you know, I went into the studio to do something completely different, and what came out was this amazing, amazing meditation on the Lord's Prayer. And it is something that I've never seen or heard done, and it's about the grounding into the earth and really spiritualizing through the chakras. So as above, so below, all in the meditation on the Lord's Prayer. Different, very different, very amazing.
Yeah, but as above, so below, isn't that kind of a Wicca or a pagan expression, and then the Lord's Prayer is Christian?
Actually, as above, so below is it's in all traditions, it's in all religions. So it's in the Torah, it's in the Quran, it's in all energetic and all esoteric studies. So particularly Buddhism, they talk about that more openly, but all of the traditions use that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And since we've mentioned the Lord's Prayer, I think it might be good to clarify whether or not you embrace a particular faith.
I embrace every faith.
Every faith.
Every faith. Well, you know, they're all the same when you really come down to the essence of it. You know, they all have the same thing. It's pretty profound, given that I was brought up as Catholic. And as you have respect for all religion, you have respect for, and then you start finding all of these nuances of the same thing in each different religion, and it's just really amazing how it's transformed. I love the Lord's Prayer. I said the Lord's Prayer for thousands of repetitions after I lost my husband. I know that it healed my body and my brain. However, also did some other pieces of meditation that we offer in the meditation series, like the Essenes meditation, which is about waking up and going to sleep, which is about the essence of life that comes in and out of your body. So, you know, it's about taking all of the different traditions that are out there and bringing them in, making them simple, and making them available for anybody who wants to access them, and making it real.
Well, you know, asked a lot of professional questions here, and some esoteric ones. But I don't know how comfortable you are with personal ones, but I would imagine our listeners at this point might like to know a little bit about what did happen. I mean, you're 29 years old, your husband dies. You may not want to talk about it, but you have brought it up several times, so I'm going to assume it's at least okay for me to ask, you know, perhaps both what it was that how he was taken from you, and then maybe also what health complications that you faced, because I think people who are interested in your services might be also interested in knowing what kind of obstacles you yourself have had to overcome.
Well, you know, isn't that so true? You know, he died in a motorcycle accident very suddenly, so, you know, 1 minute there, 1 minute gone, and I was really, I think, given an opportunity to bring about things that I had never even thought of or explored before through his leaving. And his attitude, long before the book was written, was don't sweat the small stuff, everything is small stuff. So I learned a great deal from him. And
this is your,
then,
your, this is your husband.
My late husband, yeah.
Yeah.
And I you know, that's hard to, you know, when somebody leaves you, you take away the good, or you can take away the bad, but, you know, apparently I chose the good, so. And before that, I was a very tense, uptight person, so.
Oh.
Fortunately, that changed. And
that probably changed your whole perspective on mortality, too, at that young age, huh?
You know what it does is it really gives you a perspective of saying, you know what, life's short, live it. You got to go. It's a good stuff. It's all good.
Yeah, I like what you say on the very first page. You say, life is short, transform now.
Yeah.
You know, because both a lot of times we go, well, you know, patient, be patient. These things take time. And I do love the fact that you're in a hurry. I have to say, I like that.
so,
well,
so,
it's not because of that one event.
What about the health, challenges that you face? You're obviously helping people with a lot of diverse health issues. I'm just wondering, you know, and again, you may or may not want to share this. It's a very personal question, but I'm sure the people who come to you for help probably like knowing a little bit about your background.
You know, that's funny because they virtually never ask. So, but
really?
I'm happy to share. Yeah, they don't care. They just know that they've heard that I help people, and all they want to do is be better.
And they just want to get help.
And they just want to be.
Well, maybe it's just us radio talk show hosts that want to know those sort of things.
Yeah, we're pretty inquisitive, aren't we? Yeah. You know, basically the I had some colon issues from traveling so much and eating so poorly and just really poisoning my system. And then I had a surgery, and the surgery went fine. However, the recovery didn't, and I got blood poisoning and nearly died from that. And it really made me understand how important, you know, understanding my own body was and understanding how to help it heal. So everything that I have done for somebody else, I have done on myself. If I put a product on my website, it's something I've either tested for a long period of time or put inside my body, because mine's a little bit more sensitive than others. And if it can't handle mine, then it can't be out there. So, you know, I really stand by everything that I do and put out there, because it has to be of the highest vibration to help somebody, even if it's only going to help them one time.
Well, and I'm looking at products here. Oh, no, I don't see actually anything in the nutrition. I see a lot of CDs. So maybe
we have some. Yeah, I don't think they've been uploaded. Our website just got our amalgamated website just got launched about a week ago. So we're missing a couple products. So we have vitamins and minerals, and we also have some a couple other supplements that help the system to purify and cleanse and support the system during any healing situation. So we do have a whole bunch.
Well, that's, and you're not a nutritionist though, right? Or how do you develop your vitamins?
They have to go inside my body, and I look at what's happening with the cells, and if the cells are dancing and happy and pretty and vibrant and overjoyed, and I see that happening over a prolonged period of time, then I'll recommend them. And I also test energetically. There are particular ways to test energetically to see if the body will wants that particular product. Not muscle testing. It's more of a scanning. It's more of a higher vibrational thing that is, you know, multiple question oriented to really get to the core of if this is the right product that is going to help facilitate the fastest healing.
Well, and you brought up muscle testing. So you don't do muscle testing. What do you think about it? Since you are clairvoyant, I'm going to ask you, is that for real? Muscle testing?
No, I love this question, because I got to say, for the first 12 years of my life doing this, I like poo-pooed it. And then I realized that there is some value in it for the client to get their unconscious to unlock. So I know how to do it. And I periodically use it if it needs to get the client to be shaken out of their stuff to unlock whatever's stuck in there, to go faster, clear faster.
Okay. All right.
So I think you have to be good at it.
Yeah, I thought it sounded pretty silly, but I've had it done to me.
Yeah, and it can be.
Yeah. I've had it done to me, and, you know, actually, it seemed like it was pretty accurate. So,
yeah, and it can be silly, and it can be like, oh, yeah, that's contrived. However, you have to be really, you want to make sure that you're really clear as the practitioner to make sure that you're not putting any of your own stuff in there, because I've seen people put their own stuff and get really interesting, you know, skewed results.
Results.
testing.
Absolutely.
Your own.
By the way, for the listeners here, if you don't know what muscle testing is, it's basically like somebody would put maybe a bottle of vitamins in one hand and push the other hand, and if your hand is, you're able to resist the push, then that's a good substance for you to take, and if your hand gets weak, you maybe shouldn't take that. Fair enough assessment?
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Muscle testing, we call it.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a very interesting hour. is there anything, we're going to have to wrap up here, but I'm just wondering if there's anything I didn't ask you that I should have or you wish I had asked you.
Well, you know, I think that you can listen to my radio show called Master Your Energy, Master Your Life, and we cover everything from the esoteric to the philosophical to the movie-oriented, and that is a lot of fun for me to challenge others about how they handle energy.
Oh, cool.
And then on our website, do sign up. We have lots of videos and free stuff for people to really get familiar with, you know, some of the tools and techniques that will help get you accelerated out in your life, and that's SiobhanMoran.com. But other than that, I think the objective is, you know, really become an energy-aware person so that you will take your entire life into this most amazing direction that I know is possible, and you can feel it in your bones is out there. And if you tap into the energy and really start paying attention to, let's just call it intuition as a good start, then you've started somewhere. And you don't have to be quiet in meditation. There is no such thing as quiet in meditation. You're going to have thoughts, good, because you're alive. And the meditation techniques that we offer are about helping you be more alive. So, you know, I just really would encourage everyone to really learn and tap into their own energetic resources and understand what that can do for them in every aspect of their life, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, spiritual, etc.
Well, thank you. And you know what? That caught my attention with the whole be alive during meditation. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've never. Yeah, it's always like quiet the mind, and I get so frustrated because my mind won't shut up. So, I may check out one of your CDs myself just to learn more about having being fully alive during meditation. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, my mind won't shut up, so why would I expect anybody else's to?
Absolutely.
It's about having the right keys and the right tools to get you there so you have a few moments of it here and there, and then your mind does what it's going to do.
I like it. Well, Siobhan, thank you so much for being a guest on my show. I really appreciated it. And I think you're one of the most down-to-earth psychics I've ever interviewed.
Thanks, Victoria. That's so sweet. I enjoyed it. You've been a great host. I love your questions and your listeners. Boy, you got great listeners.
They are great, aren't they? I love them too.
Totally.
All right. Thank you, and you have a great night.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Yeah.